Homage to Samantabhadra, homage to Vajrasattva, homage to Guru Rinpoche, homage to His Holiness Jamyan Lungtuk Gyaltsen, our root guru, and to all the lineage masters. We have these very auspicious arising causes. It is so precious to have this human life, and even more precious and difficult to obtain this is to be able to receive the Dharma and to have the opportunity that we can all be together in person is very rare. And today I'll give a very simple teaching. And most of you here have received or know the words of my perfect teacher and the guidance thereof. And this really is very important. First, we must understand that we ourselves are a Buddha. Really, every single one of us is a Buddha. However, until now, we have viewed ourselves as being sentient beings. We have considered ourselves as sentient beings. The reality is, every single one of us is a Buddha. However, we just haven't awoken to this yet. And we've been carrying on our lives, half working and half sleeping. When these three poisons arise, sometimes it's this attachment, this aversion, or this ignorance. Then we might think, how can I be a Buddha when I have these attachments, aversions, and ignorances? And then we come to recognize our true nature of mind. It really doesn't matter how we consider ourselves. The reality is every single one of us is a Buddha. Every one of us is a bodhisattva. Why is it that we can attain Buddhahood? That we can become bodhisattvas, because every single one of us has Buddha nature. What is the evidence that we have Buddha nature? Look at all of us. We all have compassion. This simply is some merit of Buddha nature manifesting. And sometimes we have some compassion, sometimes we have some renunciation, sometimes we really have this great aspiration to benefit sentient beings. And sometimes we are able to do this within our mind, through practice, and sometimes through our actions we go and benefit others. Where does this come from? This comes from this Buddha nature of ours, from this nature of ours that is half asleep and half awake. And it is constantly in the process of recovering to its true essence. And eventually we must completely wake up this Buddha within ourselves. We are Buddhas, we are bodhisattvas. From our point of view right now, we may ask, am I really a bodhisattva? Am I really a Buddha? In one regard, we are. And in another regard, we aren't. In what regard are we? Is when we have this renunciation, when we have this bodhicitta. And when this is the case, then we really are just like a bodhisattva. Our mind is very pure, and we have no attachment, aversion, and ignorance. And we have bodhicitta, we have unmoving belief in our guru. And when we see the suffering of sentient beings, we have compassion. What is this? This is the Buddha within our own mind, the bodhisattva within our own mind, and which is in the process of returning to its true nature. Just like the process when we have been ill, and our body is in the process of recovering to good health again. What are we doing? We are taking this confused, hesitant, ignorant mind of ours and transforming it back to its natural wisdom, compassion. And to be able to do this, it takes time to practice. And right now, after all of these years, we have been gradually recovering our natural state of mind, and we are halfway there. What would we have been like if we hadn't started practicing or started the Dharma, started transforming our mind, what would we be like today? And we wouldn't understand what cause and effect was. We wouldn't know about compassion and bodhicitta. We wouldn't know what is Buddha nature. And we wouldn't even have a concept of this. We would be just like everybody around us, day after day, engaging in all of these negative activities. And where we are now is in the process of waking up. For those that don't believe in cause and effect, they don't think that they are doing anything wrong or anything negative. However, for us, we have now started to wake up. We are half the way awake. And so we understand for many things what we are doing, whether it is positive or negative, that it affects our future lives and that it's good to do things that benefit sentient beings. These type of things now we're quite clear about, and we definitely understand what is positive and what is negative, what is a state without awareness. And gradually through this, we come out of the state of being lost, confused, in a dazed state without awareness. And we come out of the state and we spend our time repenting, reciting mantras, meditating, practicing, generating positive merit, always supporting to the best of our ability, the right mindfulness and right awareness. And we find that we are more and more kind and compassionate. And we have much more wisdom. What do we mean that we have more wisdom? Many of the things that we weren't able to let go of before, now we are able to let go of. We don't have this attachment. This shows that our wisdom has increased. Before, there were many things we were very anxious about. Now, we're not worried about it. We're just relaxed and we're going to do what we're going to do. And just in a very easy, relaxed manner. I'm not going to be nervous and anxious about it and not be able to sleep at night into the late hours of the night, thinking about things. When it's time to sleep, sleep. When it's time to work, work. When it's time to live, live. And when we're like this, we really see that our state of mind is very different. Now, when little problems arise, we are not going to get anxious and make big problems out of the little problems. We're more aware that we only have so many decades to live. And so we're more certain about the things that I will do this life and the things that I shouldn't engage in this life. And gradually, we improve in this way. Our wisdom increases and our compassion increases. We're not so anxious about things. And more we think, oh, I should really repent. And we might repent that, oh, I really didn't practice before. However, if we look back and look at our lives now compared to our lives and what our lives were like before we knew Buddhism, it's really like the difference between heaven and earth. And then we really see, actually, I practiced pretty well. And then as for the future, if we continue improving, then we can attain the path of liberation. Be sure to practice. In the process of practicing, don't be very anxious or stressed. And don't give up. Just say, no matter what happens, I will continue. Be certain in one's mind. If there are good times, there are hard times. In reality, now I understand the true nature of this world. And I'm going to make my sole or most important purpose that in this life I attain liberation. And why? Because having this precious human life, we really have the highest level of all of the six realms. They are the gods, and the lives of the gods are really very long. They may live for a few hundred or a few thousand years. However, this time passes very, very quickly because they have so many enjoyments. Have you noticed when you're enjoying yourself how quickly time passes? When we're with friends or we're going for a walk or we're doing things that we enjoy, we think, wow, oh, where did the time go? The same principle applies to the gods. They spend those few hundred or few thousand years with so many enjoyments, but they feel that it's just suddenly just passed by so quickly, and then they continue revolving around in samsara. And after that, they fall to the three lower realms. As for having human life, we have some happinesses and a little bit more suffering. And so when we are experiencing sufferings, we feel that life is going past so slowly. Have you ever noticed when you're sick and you think, "Wow, oh, that day is so long"? However, when we are very happy, the time goes so quickly. It's like we blink an eye and it's already nighttime. Or during the night, we blink an eye and it's already daylight. Similarly, the life of the gods, they just like it's like blinking an eye and the time is gone. However, remember, the gods, as well as ourselves, we are still revolving around in samsara. And as long as we're revolving around in samsara, we are controlled by the sufferings of birth, old age, sickness, and death. We haven't completely attained enlightenment. So what is it that we must really endeavor to? Is to attain enlightenment in this lifetime. However, if we really endeavor and practice to go to the pure lands or to Dewa Chen, to the copper colored mountain, to any of these pure lands, then we won't be experiencing the same as what we experience here. We'll completely be in the realm and have the realizations of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and free from the suffering of birth, old age, sickness, and death. And which of the six realms can go to these pure lands? Only those in the human realm, because the wisdom of humans is much greater than the wisdom of the gods. The merit of gods is much greater than that of the humans. However, the wisdom of humans is much greater than that of the gods. It is through having this human life that we have the opportunity to attain liberation or to attain enlightenment. Then, how important is it and wonderful is it that we attain liberation in this lifetime? However, if we don't, then all that happens is the time that we revolve around in samsara is much, much longer. Really think about how fortunate it is that we have this human life and that we meet with a Dharma and a Bhadra Guru. Look at a small bird. How many worms has it eaten in its lifetime? And so much, how much negative karma has it generated? Or these fish in the ocean, the big ones eating the small ones. In terms of cause and effect, how much negative karma have they generated? And when are they going to have an opportunity to come out of this negative karma? When will they have the opportunity to attain liberation or enlightenment? It's really very difficult to say.